Ajatma,
Adhyatma,
spiritual,
Paroksham,
Paroksham,
described by authority,
described with authority,
Nidam,
Nidam,
this, Maya,
Maya,
by me,
Adhikatam,
Adhikatam,
her,
Bhutam,
Adbhutam,
wonderful,
wonderful,
Eva,
Eva,
thus,
thus,
Triya,
Triya,
with a wife,
with a wife,
Ashrama,
Ashrama,
shelter,
shelter,
Kumsa,
Kumsa,
living entity,
living entity,
Chinna,
Chinna,
finish,
finish,
Amutra,
Amutra,
life after death.
By death, cha,
also,
samsaya,
doubt. Translation allegory of King Purana described if you're in according to authority was heard by me from my spiritual master and his full of spiritual knowledge. If one can understand the purpose of this allegory, he will certainly be relieved from the conception and will clearly understand life after death. Although one may not understand what transmigration of the soul actually is, one can fully understand it by studying this narration. Purport, the word Striya meaning along with the wife is significant. The male and female living together constitute the substance of material existence. The attraction between male and female in the material world is very strong. In all species of life, the attraction between male and female is the basic principle of existence. The same principle of intermingling is also in human society, but is in a regulated form. Material existence means living together as male and female and being attracted by one another. However, one fully understands spiritual life, his attraction to the opposite sex is completely vanquished. By such attraction, one becomes overly attached to this material world, as the heart not within the heart. Everyone comes to the material world attracted to sense gratification. The heart not of sense gratification is the attraction between male and female. By this attraction, one becomes overly attached to the material world by means of greed, etc., sutta, hapta, vitta, home, land, children, friend, money, and so forth. Thus one becomes entangled in the bodily deception by mind. However, if one understands the story of King Paranjana and understands how by sexual attraction Paranjana became a female in his next life, one will also understand the process of transmigration. Special note, according to Vijay Vaja Tirtha, who belongs to Madhvacharya Sampradaya, the first two of the following verses appear after verse 45 of this chapter, and the remaining two verses appear after verse 79. Translation. And the desire to maintain body, wife, and children is also observed in animal society. The animals have full intelligence to manage such affairs. If a human being is simply advanced in this respect, what is the difference between him and an animal? One should be very careful to understand that human life is attained after many, many births in the evolutionary process. The learned man who gives up the bodily conception of life, both gross and subtle will, by the enlightenment of spiritual knowledge, become a prominent individual spirit soul as the Supreme Lord also is. Her partner said that man is a rational animal. From this verse we understand that rationality exists even in animal life. Unless there is rationality, how can an animal maintain its body by working so hard? That the animal is not rational is untrue, for rationality, however, is not very advanced. In any case, we cannot deny them rationality. The point is that one should use one's reason to understand the Supreme Personality of God, for that is perfection of life. If a living entity is developed in Krishna consciousness and is merciful to others, and if the spiritual knowledge of self-realization is perfect, he will immediately attain liberation from the bondage of material existence. Purport, in this verse, the word daya, jivesha, means mercy to other living entities, indicates that a living entity must be merciful to other living entities if he wishes to make progress in self-realization. This means he must preach this knowledge after perfecting himself and understanding his own position as an eternal servant of Krishna. Preaching this is showing real mercy to living entities. Other types of humanitarian work may be temporarily beneficial for the body, but because a living entity is spirit soul, ultimately one can show him real mercy only by revealing knowledge of a spiritual existence. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Jivasya by Krishna Nityadas, every living entity is constitutionally a servant of Krishna. One should know this fact perfectly and should preach it to the mass of people. If one realizes that he is an internal servant of Krishna but does not preach it, his realization is imperfect. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur therefore sings Dushtaman, Tumi, Kisar, Vaishnava, etc. My dear mind, what kind of Vaishnava are you? Simply about her false prestige and a mature reputation, you are chanting Hare Krishna mantra in a solitary place. In this way, people do not preach who do not preach or criticize. There are many Vaishnavas in Vrindavan who do not preach that she should try to imitate Hare Krishna or. The actual result of their so-called chanting in a secluded place, however, is that they sleep and think of women and money. Similarly, one who simply engages in temple worship but does not see to the interests of a mass of people or cannot recognize devotees is called a Krishna Adhikari. Text 2b, everything happening within time, which exists in the past, present, and future, is merely a dream. That is the secret understanding in all Vedic literatures. Purport, factually, all of material existence is only a dream. Thus, there is no question of past, present, or future. Persons who are addicted to karma, kanda, vichara, which means working for future happiness through fruitive activities, are also dreaming. Similarly, past happiness and present happiness are merely dreams. The actual reality is Krishna, Sarasya Krishna, which can save us from the clutches of Maya, for the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, Mame Vaye Prapajate Maya Maitan Trantate, those who surrender to me can easily cross beyond my illusory energy. Thus in the Bhagavad purports the 4th Canto, 29th chapter, Srimad Bhagavatam entitled Talks Between Narada and King Parshunavati. Translation, allegory of King Parashunavati described herein according to authority was heard by me from my spiritual master and his full of spiritual knowledge. If one can understand the purpose of this allegory, he will certainly be relieved and the bodily conception will clearly understand life after death. Although one may not understand what transmigration of the soul actually is, one can fully understand it by studying this narration. So this is the conclusion of the whole section of many chapters concerning the life of Paranjana and the teachings of Narada to King Prachinabhati to give up his sacrifices. So, as we see, the subject of this allegory was Adhyatma, which literally means concerning the Atma, or the real self. And that was illustrated by the fact that Pranjan is actually different from his body, represented by him living in the city. And then he changed his city, or his body, so to speak. So the emphasis there was upon understanding he was Atma, not body. So this was relevant for the story of Prachinabhati, the king, because he was involved in sacrifices for prosperity of the body. So his basic misconception was that I am the body and I should enjoy comfortably in this body. So therefore he did his sacrifices. So the strategy of Narada Muni was therefore to make him understand you're not the body. So if you spend all of your time taking care of this body, actually it's useless because you'll have to give up the body anyway. And so therefore all the care you took of your body is useless because you separate from that. And so the implicit meaning is that therefore we should take care of the soul, not the body. And we should cultivate the soul. And the example is given, of course, of the foolish person who decorates the cage but doesn't feed the bird in the cage. So we can do everything for the body, but actually it's not us. So why are we taking care of that body? We should actually do something for the soul. So in one sense, the soul does not need anything because it does not need food, it does not need shelter, nothing like this. It cannot be cut, dried, burned, etc. So you don't have to take care of the soul in one sense. But the main problem is we don't even recognize the soul. That's the problem. Once you recognize the soul, then we can live properly. So the main idea here of not taking care of the soul is we don't even recognize the existence of the soul, and under illusion we simply absorb ourselves in taking care of the body. So once we recognize the soul, then we can actually take care of the soul, not by material things, but by the cultivation of bhakti. If we don't do that, then we will end up with jnana and liberation and merging in Brahman. That's the ultimate we'll get. So the real taking care of the soul or cultivating the soul means we have to perform bhakti. And when we do that, then the soul begins to develop inclination towards the Lord, attachment to the Lord, absorption in the Lord, and service to the Lord. And if we don't do that, and we simply realize we're Atman, then we don't get any other realization except ourself, and we enter into Brahman. So, the realization of Atma is not the full realization. Therefore, rather than simply do jnana to get that realization, better to do bhakti from the beginning. This bhakti will establish our relationship with the Lord. It will also give us our identity as Atma. Now we will understand we're not the body, but it will go further than that and engage us in the service of the Lord. So therefore, the process of bhakti is a more complete process. Whatever gyan can give in terms of liberation, bhakti can also give. Whatever karma can give in terms of supporting the material body, bhakti can also give that. And therefore, Bilba Mangal Thakur says that the devotee, he does not encourage bhakti and mukti. Though they pray and they follow him around and they ask, well, how can we serve you? We want to do some service for you. Which means that all those things are available. But the devotee finds these things unfavorable for the devotional development, and therefore he doesn't ask for mukti or bhakti, though available as servants of bhakti. So, therefore we should understand that bhakti is a complete process, and whatever is in other processes is also in bhakti, but bhakti has more. In this allegory, first of all, the emphasis was put upon understanding you're not the material body, etc. But, as an addition to that, then Narada Muni also later indicated through allegory of the King Malayadwaja and the Princess Vaidarbhi, he indicated that one should take to the process of bhakti ultimately. So, therefore, bhakti is not omitted in this story also. The process here is allegorical, symbolic, metaphorical, not a direct statement. And therefore, a whole chapter was spent in explaining the allegory and what it meant. So, such stories are sometimes given in which indirect method is used. This is, in this case, it is used to teach through a story, which is not a historical fact. And we'll see this done in other places as well. For instance, in the fifth canto, a whole story of a man going into the forest and getting attacked by various animals and whatever. So again, we find an allegorical image used. So this is used because people can relate to common experiences. If we just simply talk about soul, they cannot understand that to begin with because they don't know what it is. So if we give examples from common life, then they can relate to it. So living in a city is a common experience, so therefore this is used as an example to illustrate soul and body. Of course, in Bhagavad Gita we have an illustration of the clothing and a person putting on and taking off clothing. There's another example used, not an elaborate example, but it's another example. So this is sometimes called paroksha, or indirect method. By illustration we make a conclusion through an illustration of another situation. So, in this case it was Paranjana in his material body. So this is one way in which we can teach by using various examples so people can relate to them. And this is usually done when, as a beginning, when people cannot understand basic things. So the examples are given. As an example in Bhagavad Gita, we find an example. Here we find an example for King Prachinabhar. He was too absorbed in material things to understand his real nature. This is a method used. Of course, paroksha also refers not just to allegorical stories, but sometimes a more indirect method of speaking in which the meaning is not always clear. There is a superficial meaning of a statement, and then underneath is another meaning, which may be the opposite even. Yeah? So this is also called Paroksha Vaga, indirect speaking. Hmm. And that is used sometimes in the literatures to hide a conclusion from the common man because they're not qualified to hear it. So that's not the case here. This is an example used to illuminate a point. But there it is used to hide something from unqualified people. So therefore we get hidden meanings in statements sometimes, which can be understood by one who examines carefully, but not by someone who superficially tries to understand. So this example is given to simply illustrate the fact of fear not the body, and to remove this misconception of the king. So therefore it says, chinna samsaya. The doubts are dissipated by this such a story as this. We're able to clearly understand the difference between body and soul. So in this way, one can use these examples to clarify the issue of body and soul, the difference between the two things. And of course, consequently, we will also therefore understand the eternal nature of the soul. And the soul goes from body to body. It does not end with one body. It continues body after body after body. So that is another point made in the story. And of course, when one gets another body, it's technically another city. And it's a different city according to one's karma and desires, and one gets a new body with new conditions, etc. And normally this does not end. One gets this body, and one gives that one gets another body, one gets another body. So the bondage of karma forces one to continue this cycle, birth after birth, without beginning and without end. So the Vedas, fortunately, give us a chance to end that repetition of birth and death by spiritual sadhana. And that this, of course, is the whole point of Narada Muni. Let us end this cycle of birth and death, not continue it by simply doing karma or karma yoga, but rather take to the process of bhakti.
Is there any difference between a phenomenal body and a gross body?
I suppose not.
So it is same.
Yeah, in that sense. Yeah.
This analogy is there used to explain the difference between body and the soul. It seems to be a little complex. It's not as simple as body because there's so many details in terms of so for normal intelligence,
well, they can understand the basic concept, and then the details are added, and then the details are explained in the next thing. So that's why he has this extra chapter there to explain the details, which probably people cannot understand on their own. So the details of the allegory are less comprehensible, but they're explained. Prabhupada does it sometimes.
Yeah. In Kali Yuga, everything is over endeavor. There is no simple life at all. And because of over endeavor, over attachment is very common. So, is it actually possible to give up this over attachment and over endeavor?
Well, Kali Yuga, of course, is one case of over endeavor. It's been there in all cases. Of course, in Satya Yuga there's more detachment, in Kali Yuga there's more attachment, so therefore the over endeavor will be more in Kali Yuga. But in any case, the Lord makes arrangements for everybody, so he has Yuga Dharma for each age. So according to the age, you have a particular method you follow, and then you can overcome the ocean of faults of that particular period. So Kali Yuga's faults are overcome by sankirtan, chanting the Lord's name. Other processes are not going to be effective, but chanting the Lord's name will be effective in Kali Yuga. So in spite of the attachments, the one great blessing of Kali Yuga is the Yuga Dharma. So if we follow that, then we're
going to... The moment in the part, Prabhupada is example, people travel 3 hours one way, 3 hours other way, just steal some bread and butter.
Mm.
That, even if you chant Hare Krishna, traveling 3 hours, 1 day, 3 hours.
Well, you can chant Hare Krishna for 6 hours and you're free. Yeah, but anyway, by practicing, one becomes less attached, and therefore the endeavor will be less, and you quit your job and live with a simpler life or whatever. So the progress of bhakti produces detachment, automatic detachment and knowledge. One gets knowledge and one gets detachment automatically with the progress of bhakti without any extra endeavor. Yeah, people can say that, and there's nothing wrong with that in one sense, but one should also be qualified for that, that's all. And most people are not qualified simply to isolate themselves and chant. Some people maybe, but it's unlikely that most people can do that. Their minds will simply get attracted to material things again. So one has to act according to qualification. It would depend. Generally he has to, but it depends on the particular sin or whatever. It may be 5 lives as a camel and 2 lives as a donkey and 1 life as a dog and like that in the backwards, or it may be this 2 lives of a lizard and then back to human life or whatever. It depends on the particular sin.
ग्रंथराज श्री श्रीमद् भागवतम की
जय।
विश्वनाथ महाराज की
जय।
जुमे ग्रेसी भक्ति श्री प्रभुपाद की
जय।
आई होप प्रमाण